Brought to you by Elder Dan Parker and the Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church of Blairs, Virginia. Now, here's Elder Parker.
Good evening, friends. We welcome you to the Primitive Baptist Gospel Hour. I'm Elder Dan Parker, pastor of the Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church in Danville, Virginia. Thank the Lord for his blessing for us to bring unto you the gospel of Jesus Christ, for me to, by this means, to preach to you the unsearchable riches of Christ and what the Scriptures teach and what the Bible says. And I know there's many subjects in God's Word, and I want to cover many of those subjects on this broadcast, and I want you to follow along with me in God's Word. I don't want you to just take what I say, but I want you to take what I say and weigh it with, thus saith the Word of the Lord. Look into those Scriptures that I use and weigh it by what the Scriptures say. We would invite you to come and be with us at the Afton Road Church. Afton Road Church meets every Sunday morning. Singing begins at 10:30, preaching at 11 o'clock. And if you want directions to the church, all you have to do is give me a call. The number is on the screen. If you would like to help financially in any way of this broadcast, we invite you to do that. Because if you want to do that, we would give you that opportunity, because the Bible is very clear that, you know, if you want to give, we want you to have that opportunity to give. It's a blessing for God's people to give when they purpose in their heart. We would love to see you in our worship service. I offered those booklets a couple of Sunday nights ago. That's still available. One of them is The Primitive Faith, and the other one is The Humility and Exaltation of Jesus Christ. It's very simple reading. It won't take you a long time to read those booklets. Before we get into the message, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to thy throne of grace in the name of Jesus Christ, our beloved Redeemer, Savior, and great High Priest. We thank thee for thy love in our lives, for thy faithfulness to us, for thy grace that strengthens us each day, for thy Spirit that leads us. Lead my mind tonight in thy Scriptures, that I might bring forth those things that would be needful for thy people, that they could search these Scriptures out, and that their minds would be open to the understanding of that which is preached. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for Jesus most of all, and for his redeeming love and blood. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the churches of Galatia. In the first chapter, and verse 7, the Apostle Paul said concerning the gospel that he preached unto them, that there were some that came among them that troubled them and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That means that they would distort, by their injection of what they're preaching, the true gospel that the Apostle Paul had established them in. That they were now being removed from obeying that gospel, obeying the truth. Paul said in verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Well, the Apostle Paul says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into another gospel. Now, there are other gospels here in this world, but they are not the true gospel of the Son of God. They are counterfeit. And by what I mean is that there are those that come and say, we have the truth, and we're using God's Word. And it is true that there are those that use the Bible, and yet they do not have the truth of the Word of God. They use Scripture. They can quote Scripture. They are familiar with the Scriptures, but they misapply the Scriptures, and therefore they distort them, and it deceives the Lord's people who believe their teaching. It's called another gospel, but it is not the true gospel. It's a counterfeit. You know, when counterfeiters make money, they try to make it look like the real thing, but it's not the real thing, and maybe the ordinary person can't tell the difference. But the expert who knows the real bill, if it's a dollar bill or if it's a $5 bill or a $10 bill, they know the real bill, and they know the counterfeit. They can readily detect the counterfeit when it comes along. And so it is with God's children who know the real bill, who know the truth. When the counterfeit comes along, they can detect it if they are sound in the gospel. But there are some of God's people, they're like children that are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And these that were established in the churches of Galatia, these that came along preaching something else, law service, and perverted the gospel, they removed them from their obedience to the gospel. The Apostle Paul in the 3rd chapter, verse 1, says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? So he says, you Galatians are foolish. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? You see, they were sliding back from the truth. They were backsliding in their minds and in their hearts from the truth of believing something contrary to the truth, that they had been witched. You see, there are preachers that are witches. They bewitch people. That is, they cast a spell upon them, whereby that it blinds the minds of a child of God or children of God to believe something that is not according to thus saith the word of the Lord. And there's a lot of bewitchers out in our world today. The prophet warned God's people in old times about believing those false prophets that would come along. The Apostle John said, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. And certainly we are to try the spirits, because there's more than one spirit. The devil is a spirit, and there are many spirits of different doctrines that are taught in this world, the doctrines of men, which is not authorized by the Spirit of God and not in the Scriptures. So the Apostle Paul says here, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law? Here he's talking about the Spirit of truth. You didn't receive If you received the Spirit of truth, you didn't receive it by the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith. And on in the chapter, he is exhorting these churches. Now, these were the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul had established them and preached the truth unto them, but now they are sliding back from the truth, and they are not obeying the truth because of these false teachers and these bewitchers that had come among them preaching another gospel. But Paul exhorts them in chapter 5 and verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Now, Paul is exhorting these churches. Now, these churches of Galatia, they're old Baptist churches, and yet they have backslid by someone coming along preaching the works of the law unto them. In this case, it was those deceivers or those Judaizers that said that you must be circumcised to be saved. Now, they were not saying that Jesus didn't die upon the cross. They were not saying that Jesus did not rise from the dead. But they were saying that that's not enough to save you for heaven. They were saying it takes something else. It takes some condition. And this was, by what they were saying, you must be circumcised to be saved. That Christ is not enough. He is insufficient. Yet he died and he arose from the dead, but that he's not enough. Well, we got those that are saying that today. They may not be saying you got to be circumcised in the flesh, but they're putting all kind of conditions before people of God, saying that you're not going to live in heaven except you do this, or except you do that, or except you do what I say you do. Why, we got some preachers, heretics, they think they're God. They're the judge and the jury of who's going to heaven and who's not. But God is the only judge of that, my friends. But I'm going to tell you tonight, and I want you to listen to me, that Jesus Christ, delivered and saved by his blood and his death upon the cross, everyone that'll live in heaven, every one of his elect, he died for them, and they're going to live with him in heaven. But there's a lot of misapplications of the scriptures to deceive the Lord's little children from believing that and embracing that. If you don't believe that tonight, you ought to get out of that place and go where they do preach salvation by the grace of Almighty God. If you believe some condition or some stipulation is the reason that you're going to live with God in heaven by what you've done, I'm telling you that Christ shall profit you nothing. He didn't say that Christ didn't die for you. These are children of God. These are churches that once held to the truth, but now they are sliding back because of the bewitchers that had come among them preaching false doctrine, heretics, Judaizers, bewitchers. And the Apostle Paul says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, that is, if you believe you're justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, he didn't say here, you've fallen out of the grace of God. He said, you are fallen from grace. You have fallen from believing that salvation is by grace. And that's a sad situation for a child of God who once believed that he was saved by grace, but now he's been deceived by someone, and has been carried away and doesn't believe that anymore, he has fallen from his steadfastness, or he has fallen from that which he first embraced. Now, there's not many old Baptists would swallow false doctrine, but there might be a few. But if you're not an old Baptist tonight and you believe something different, that is, if you've never believed in the truth, I want you to believe the truth tonight. I want you to believe it, I want you to embrace it, and I want you to love the truth of God's amazing and sovereign grace. I want you to look into God's Word and see where that the doctrine of Jesus Christ is so forcefully set forth and taught. The doctrine of election is set forth in God's Word. Somebody says, oh, I don't believe that. Well, if you don't believe that, you don't believe the Word of God. It's just as forcefully taught in the Old Testament as the New. It was embraced by the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. All these churches, they believe, and they claim to, and their profession of faith was that I believe the faith that was delivered unto me, or preached unto me. Now, sometime they'd get off course because of false teachers and the doctrine that was not in harmony with God, the doctrines of men. Sometime they'd get off course. But Paul here, to these churches of Galatia, he is instructing them to get back on course with what you once embraced and that which you first believed and was established in. Who hath hindered you that ye should not obey the truth? He says ye did run well, but someone has hindered you, and you have fallen into their trap. Dear friends, tonight, the things that I set forth on this telecast, I want you to look into God's Word. I want you to search it out. If I preach on the doctrine of election, and that election is of God, God didn't look down through time and see the acts of men and the response of those who would choose Him, and based on that He chose them. He didn't foresee your faith and your repentance, and the reason He didn't, you didn't have it. You didn't have it by human nature, and I didn't have it. We were away from God by our old sinful nature. But God reached down in His love and His grace and saved us by His grace. He reached us. He came to us first by His love and His Spirit and raised our souls out of death through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ came into this world. And why did He come into this world? He came to redeem sinners from sin. And the Bible is clear that He saved sinners from sin. He didn't try to do it. He didn't make a stab at it and say on the cross, after that He had died and rose from the dead, well, I tried, but I just couldn't get it done. No, Jesus Christ, when He died upon the cross, He knew every one that He was dying for. And they were engraven in the palms of His hands. And He secured their redemption when He hung His head upon the cross. When He bowed His head upon the cross, He said, it is finished. I'm glad to tell you tonight that it is finished. As far as the redemption of God's people and those that live in heaven, I know everybody that's going to live there. I don't know them by name. I don't hadn't met them all. But I know all of them that's going to be there. I know that they're going to be there because Jesus died for them. I know the number that's going to be there, everyone that Jesus died for. The millions and millions that He died for upon the cross out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. And though they may be confused in this life by all sorts of false doctrine that false teachers promulgate and that they spread, yet it will not separate them from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But it will rob them of the joy here in this life of understanding and believing and knowing that their salvation for heaven is in the hand of Jesus Christ, and that he will lose none of his people, and they shall never perish from him. That's a wonderful teaching in God's Word. Eternal security. I like to call it preservation. Preserved in Jesus Christ. Called by his grace. The Apostle Paul wrote the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18. And Paul said that the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Now, what Paul said about himself that he wrote to Timothy embraces all the family of God. What he said about himself there, it's true for all of God's people. That God will deliver his people from every evil work as they travel here in this world. I didn't say they won't have evil come upon them. I didn't say they're not going to suffer tribulation and trial and sorrow and tears and heartache. I said that they will be delivered from every evil work. And God will preserve them unto his heavenly kingdom. God will preserve. And the word preserve means without spoil. That is, they will not have any eternal loss or spoil. God will preserve them unto his heavenly kingdom. Now, they may be confused about many things as they live upon this earth. And they may not understand the truth because there are many false doctrines in this world. But God's true children, even though they are misled and though they are in error, yet it will not change their eternal destiny because God has reserved heaven for his people. Now they may be thrown off the path and they may be overthrown in their faith, as the Apostle Paul said, as he wrote Timothy, that Hymenaeus and Philetus have preached that the resurrection is already past and overthrow the faith of some. But Paul said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. What seal? The Lord knoweth them that are his. And the word know there means that he intimately loves them and they can never be separated from him as far as being children of God. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. This is the seal of God. This is the foundation. That the Lord knoweth them that are his. Wherever they are, whatever tongue they're in, whatever religion that they're in. And there's many false religions in this world. But yet God has his true children mixed up in them all. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. But tonight, dear friends, if you do not understand what I'm saying to you, you need to read and search this out. You know, it's very important for you to read and to study and search this out. You need the right man to guide you, as the eunuch did when he was reading in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. Why, here was a man that was a child of God, been up to Jerusalem for to worship, but you see, he didn't understand. But God supplied the right man to preach unto him. Philip was directed by the Spirit to preach unto the eunuch. And the eunuch was reading the Word of God. He's reading from Isaiah 53. But he did not understand what he was reading. And Philip asked him the question, understandest thou what thou readest? And he says, how can I except some man should guide me. Now, he was not just talking about any man, but he was talking about God's man, the man that has the truth of the Bible. That's the man that you want to hear and believe, because that's the man that will preach the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ unto you. And that eunuch, his understanding was opened unto him, and he believed the testimony of the Lord Jesus that Philip preached unto him. He believed it. And he came to certain water as they were riding down the road in that chariot. And he says, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he believed with all of his heart, because he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And Philip took that eunuch down into the water and he baptized him. You see, his baptism in water did not make his salvation for heaven sure. It did not secure him for heaven, but it was a commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ that if you believe the gospel, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe what is said about him, and if you believe that he died upon the cross for your sins and he put your sins away, and your heart has received the gospel, then this is what you do. You are to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. And you're to be baptized because you believe in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Ghost. And there is a joy in you obeying that from your heart and being obedient to the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a great relief that God gives unto his obedient children. Now, there are those that will not obey his children. Well, does that mean they're going to miss heaven? Does that mean that the blood of Christ will not cover their sins? Why, no. But it means that they're not going to get the full joy because they are not obedient to the commands of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul, what a wonderful preacher and apostle he was to the Gentiles. And you know, in his own experience, he was called of Jesus Christ and put into the apostleship, and he was chosen as the apostle by God to the Gentile people. You know, when he was directed to go into Damascus, and there he would meet Ananias, that Obaptist preacher, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. Why, Saul was already changed on the road to Damascus. He is already a recipient of grace. He had been put into the apostleship. But you know, there was something for him to do. In fact, he cried out unto the Lord Jesus there when he was struck down, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" Well, before, when he was so full of his religion, he thought he was doing the will of God. I mean, he had religion from his head to his toes, but it was the Pharisees' religion. It wasn't the Lord's religion. But when Jesus came to him and brought him down and saved him by his grace and put him into the apostleship, he went on into the city, and he met an old Baptist preacher by the name of Ananias. And when Ananias, this devout man, came unto me and stood, he says, and he said unto me, "Brother Saul, receive thy sight." You see, Ananias called him brother before he was ever baptized, because he was a brother in Jesus Christ. He is a child of God. But he said, "Brother Saul, receive thy sight." And the same hour I looked upon him, that is, on Ananias, and he said, "The Lord, the God of our fathers, hath chosen thee." See, he's already chosen. Well, Saul didn't say, Well, I think I'm going to turn over a new leaf so God can choose me. No, God had already chosen him. When he was going on the road to Damascus, he's going there to put and bind the saints of God that were following Jesus in prison. But now that God has changed him, for he's already chosen of God, you see, Saul didn't have anything to do with this. God chose him and God came to him. Jesus saved him. That thou shouldest know his will and see the just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Baptism is figurative of washing away of sins. It's not literal here. He was to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Father and the Son,